Well, we talked about David this morning, talked about how he hit a low spot in his life, a really low spot. And sometimes it has to happen to us to draw us closer to the Lord and help us to learn to lean on him. And he learned his lesson. Now, it didn't make him perfect, and neither will we be perfect, but it made David a better man, and it made him such a great leader in the days to come. He was eventually anointed king. He'd already been anointed once, but he became king in Hebron, and then later on, all of Israel accepted him as king, and then he begins to grow old. He's had a great career, and he's starting to grow older. Anybody feel the pains of growing older? I knew I'd get old someday. I just didn't think it'd happen as quick, but it's better than the alternative, you know. You know what I mean? Growing old's better than the alternative. And so I'm glad to be 50 years old. I'm not ashamed to tell you. Some of you are snickering. How rude. I want to preach on this subject tonight, wisdom from an old warrior. There's some things we can pick up from somebody that's been around the block a few times, and he learned a few things, and just because he's gotten old doesn't mean that he's cast aside and lost value. And we'll be in 2 Samuel 21, verse number 15 is where we'll begin to read. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him, and he fought, and they fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And that happens as you get older, right? Isn't that right, Brother JT? He wouldn't know. He's not old yet. But as you get older, you begin to lose some energy, and your joints get a little bit rusty. And David was in battle, but he waxed faint. Verse 16. And Ishbi-Benob, now some of you ladies are looking for names for your future children. There's one. Ishbi-Benob. Wouldn't that be good to name your boy that? Which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Now be clear right here. They're not saying, David, you're not worth anything anymore. You can't go out to battle with us. They're saying, no, you're too valuable to go out to battle. Verse 18, and it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jerioregim, you can kind of slur that one and nobody would ever know, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Wisdom from an old warrior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time when we can gather around the Word of God as the family of God, and we can look into your Word, and Lord, that it can be brought to light some principles that we can learn from your word, Lord, that you've written. Your sacred historian put it down for us so we would know how to learn from these examples in the Old Testament. I pray that you'd bless us tonight. Lord, help each one of us to pack away these treasures in our heart where we'll need to retrieve them someday. And Lord, if you'll send the sweet Holy Spirit to write these upon our heart, Lord, we'll try not to fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, David is engaged in combat with one of the sons of Goliath. It was not enough that David had to kill the giant years before. Now he's having to fight the rest of the family. But David has aged, and this old warrior grows weary. And the wicked mutant, sensing David's vulnerability, filled with confidence, took advantage of this, he thought. And furious in his assault, and unrelenting, he's after David. He wants to kill him. The scripture said it was his intention to kill David. David is on the defensive, but it's all David can do in his aged and weakened situation. It's all he can do to just stave off the blows one after another. But the Bible says he's growing faint. Weakening, he cannot hold out much longer, and he's about to die. But then comes Abishai, who quickly strikes and kills the giant. And God's man is rescued. We learn some precious lessons from this passage of Scripture that I'd like for us to see tonight from this old soldier, this old warrior who's been around. He's met the Philistines time and time again. And he is no dummy, and he is no weakling. He's just aged. Number one, notice that we don't lose our value by losing an ability. David had lost an ability. He was a great warrior. He was a great captain. He's slain his 10,000s, as it was said in the Scriptures this morning. And he had the ability to fight valiantly, but in his aged condition, he has lost some abilities. But when you lose an ability, does that cause you to lose your value? I submit to you that it does not. You may not be able to serve the Lord in some of the ways you used to. And I've told this a number of times, we'd go out on soul winning visitation, go door to door. Wade Cox, that was in our membership a number of years ago, Wade he was only operating, he said, with 10% of his heart. He'd had oodles of heart surgeries, and he was aged and his heart was weakened, but he would not stay home. He wanted to go with us on soul winning. And we went over to Pocahontas one day, and we were visiting for a church over there, a new church plant. And he wanted to go. And I said, well, why don't you just drive and you pull up a few feet and I'll visit the doors and I'll come back to the car when I get three or four doors done and you pull us up. No, preacher, I can do it. And I knew he was in a weakened condition, but we'd walk down the street and he'd start breathing heavy and he'd have to stop and he'd bend over and he'd just breathe. I said, Wade, are you all right? You need to go back to the car. No, just let me stand still for a minute and I'll be okay. And he'd stand still for a little bit, and he'd get his breath back, and he'd say, okay, preacher, I'm ready to go. And we'd move on to get another door or two. He was old, but had he lost value? No, he had not lost value. He still had a great compassion to win souls to the Lord that had saved him. Wade had lived a wicked life before he got saved, and now he wanted everybody else to know that they could be saved too. And like David, he was weakened, but there were still things he could do, and he was still valuable. As we grow older, and I know I'm talking to an audience that's mostly younger, at least looks younger to me now than you used to. And there's a few of us, like Brother Paul, that are aged. And so I'm speaking a little bit to them, but we've got others. We have other members like Mary Hopkins that's out there at her son's that just had half of her foot chopped off. She can't do what she used to do. In fact, she can't even live at her home. She has to live with her son and his wife so they can take care of her. I think about Mrs. Crockett over here in the facility behind the hospital, and she's not able to do what she used to do. She used to love to come to church every service. She used to love to bake fried apple pies for the preacher, and I miss that a lot. If I have any replacements, if I have anybody that can make good fried apple pies, I'm taking applications. She can't get out. She can't get out of bed. But she's a faithful saint of God. And as we get older, and I think about Brother Jimmy, Miss Brenda's husband, that passed away on us. He was with us so many years, and then he passed away. And And he was always busy around here working, always doing stuff. And he retired, but boy, he still worked. But there comes a time when you can't do any more, and there comes a time that it's time to move on to heaven. But we cannot forget those who may be disabled or maybe lost some abilities, but they haven't lost value. I think about Earl Sutton and Velma that come in here on Sunday morning, and they walk in, and he can only move about this fast. That's about as fast as he can go. And it's not because he just wants to putter along. He'd like to walk fast like you, but he can't. And Miss Velma has to hobble along with her walking stick. And Brother Paul usually, and some of the rest of you, help her out to the car after church is over. And they're faithful. When I look over here and see them sitting on their pew over here, I always think, boy, they have lost some abilities, but they have not lost value. You know what it means to a preacher to preach to people like that? To preach to old saints of God that have been in the battle for a long time? It makes me want to shout a little bit and say, praise God, I'm glad you're still in the service of the King. You haven't given up, and you're an inspiration to me to keep on going. And that's the way we need to look at those people that have lost some abilities, but they haven't lost value. Brother Al used to come and mow with us, and now he's gotten lazy and he won't come back anymore. Now, I'm teasing. Brother Al, he used to come and mow every time there was some mowing to be done at the church. He was here. He was always here. But he's lost some physical abilities, but he still gets to church, and I admire him for that. And if he doesn't start mowing again, we're going to kick him out. But some of you hadn't heard this, some of you have. When Brother Al first came, he had been a lineman with an electric company. In a thunderstorm, there was lightning that struck a pole, and he fell off a ladder. Was it off a ladder or a pole? Or he was just standing on the ground? Standing on the ground, and one of those high-powered cables, overhead cables, in a lightning storm fell on Al, knocked him down, fell across his neck. And he had oodles of volts and amperages going through his neck, about cut his head off. And he had to go through multiple surgeries and spend months in the hospital. And he's got a tremor left from that. And so when he first started coming to church, he told me, he said, "Now, preacher," he said, I'm kind of embarrassed because I have those tremors. He said, "I don't want anybody to think there's something really wrong. I'm mentally off or anything." I said, "That's okay, Brother Al. I'll make sure everybody knows exactly what the score is, so no, you won't have to be embarrassed." So the first time he's in the service here, I introduced him. I said, "This is Brother Al. He just got saved. He used to be a druggie, and that's why he shakes." He said, "Thanks, preacher. I really needed that." We get older. We lose ability. But young people, listen to me. Don't ever devalue the older people in our congregation or the older people who are serving God. They may talk slower. They may have a speech impediment that comes because of some health problem. We talked to Miss Carol and Brother Aubrey yesterday. My wife visited them. My wife and I visited them. And Miss Carol has difficulty in speaking now because of multiple strokes. Her tongue is just thick and it's paralyzed partly, and she can speak, but she has to take it slow, and she'll bite her tongue or it'll get stuck and she can't say things very clearly. Does that mean she's not able to think clearly? No, it's just a speech. She can think faster than she can talk. And Brother Aubrey's got his own set of health problems. I'm saying that people get older, but when they get older in the service of the Lord, let's don't devalue them, and let's look to them for wisdom. As these men, these valiant warriors, looked to King David, they said he may not be able to get around quite as good as he used to, and he might not be able to fight off that giant like he did at one time, but he's valuable, and we don't want to lose him. Earl Sutton will be turning 90, is it? 89. When is his birthday? When? 25th. They're having an anniversary and his birthday, right? And his birthday is 25th of this month. I think we ought to do something to be a blessing to them. Your health won't allow you as you get older to do what you used to do. And these men, they knew David still had fight in him. And when they saw that he was having trouble standing up against these guys, it says that in verse number 17, the last part, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. They still viewed him as the guiding light of the whole nation. And they said, you're too valuable to get out here and get hurt or killed. We can't afford to lose you. Thou art worth 10,000 of us, it's said in another place. Commentator Adam Clark said that thou shalt not quench the light of Israel. David is considered as the lamp by which all Israel was guided, without whom all the nation must be involved in darkness. The lamp is the emblem of direction and support. We have older people that may be diminished in some abilities, but can still be a guiding light. They have wisdom, and we need to gain from it. Well, let me hasten on. The next lesson we learn is this. We should expect the enemy to be constantly on the attack. Oh, I wish that the Philistines were just attacked one time and it was all over. But notice what it says in verse 15. It says that they were at war again. And then in verse 18, well, again a battle. And then in verse 19, again there was war there. War again and again and battle again. And just like Israel and the Philistines were in physical warfare, you and I who are children of God in this current culture, we are also in a battle, and the battle would come again and again. And there's a culture, there is a wickedness, there's a paganism, there is an ungodliness that will attack us over and over and over. And so you have to understand, the battle is not going to quit. There is no discharge in this war. The battle will keep coming back. You may get time to rest a little while, but the battle continues. War over and over and over again. Sure, the Supreme Court is said to be pretty sure they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Don't think that war is over. They're not going to give up that easy. There are protesters from coast to coast that have not a clue about human life and human value. And they are marching and demanding. They're not for pro-choice. They are pro-abortion. There is no choice. They're not for the choice of not having abortion. They're for one choice, and that's to kill babies. And that war won't be over. And you and I must stand firm against it as long as there is breath in this old warrior. We'll say, abortion is murder. If you've had an abortion, lady, we'll forgive you when you repent. And we'll receive you. And we'll love you. And Jesus will save you. But don't go and have another one. Adrian Rogers says, there is no blessing without battle. Mark Bubeck, in his book, Overcoming the Adversary, tells a story of a Canadian woman who had read an earlier book of his on resisting the devil. And she said, I've done it all. I've tried everything. I've memorized scripture and I've worked and tried to resist the devil and nothing works. He keeps coming back again and again. And she was so defeated that she was no longer attending church. And as they talked, that author, Bubeck, asked her if she'd ever thanked the Lord for the battle. And she said, well, no. He inquired if she ever had asked God to teach her through those battles. And she had not. And when he opened her eyes to the fact that God might be using those battles to strengthen her and use her to show others how to do battle, her whole life changed. There's a third lesson we can learn from this old warrior. Gain a little more wisdom. Number three, we should be alert that the enemy attacks us when and where we're weak. The battle will happen over and over again. But look, the devil knows how to move in just like he finds a weak member of a herd of cattle and attacks that one like a lion will do or a wolf. The devil does that to Christians. And he knows everyone's weakness. In verse 15 and 16, the Bible tells us that David waxed faint. It says, moreover, the Philistines in 15 had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him, and he fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. He's growing weak. And that's when the devil likes to move in. He knows your weakness. Professional athletes study the opposing teams to find out where their weaknesses are. Do you think the devil is less intelligent than they? The devil knows, just as those professional athletes have a book of statistics and a historical account of how the opposing team plays. If they have a book on that, you can bet your life the devil has a book on you. And he knows your weakness. He knows if you're quick on the trigger for anger. He knows if you're an easy target, mister, for sexual temptation. He knows if you have been a drunk in the past. And he knows how to tempt you with the bottle. If you've been involved in drugs, he knows how to remind you of that good high that you had off of the drugs. He knows your weakness, and he will attack like a roaring lion. He is ready to pounce on you at the moment of weakness. If you grow tired, and how many of us have not grown tired and have to say to our spouse, honey, I'm sorry, I snapped at you. I was just tired. It happens. The devil knows how to get you. He knows the weak place in your armor, and he'll watch for it. Another lesson from the old soldier. We should be alert to an old enemy with a new weapon. An old enemy with a new weapon. It says that, I believe it's in verse 16, and Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass and weight, and he being girded with, look at this, a new sword. A new sword. The enemy knows how to use old tricks with new methods. A new look. New swords work. Just ask Japan. They were prepared to fight to the bitter end with swords if they had to until the atomic bomb fell. The Chinese general Sun Tzu wrote, when I have won a victory, I do not repeat my tactics, but respond to circumstances in an infinite variety of ways. The devil is no less smart. He knows you might not fall for that which looks exactly the same, so he'll make it look a little different. And whatever tempted you before, he'll find a new way to bring it and make it look pretty and shiny once again. Every new generation has youth that have their own set of temptations. This set of youth, teenagers and young people today, I feel sorry for them because I think they have probably more new weapons formed by the devil against them than perhaps any other generation. I love my cell phone. It's a smartphone. It's smarter than I am. But you know what? The devil's smart too. And he can use your smartphone, the smartphone you let your kids have. Aaron didn't get one until he was about 16 or 18. I don't remember now. Everybody else had them. I recognize the danger of those. They're good if they're used in a good way. Little kids this high don't need them. I feel so lonesome. Little kids don't need them. There's things on there that even adults fall victim to. And you think little children are not easier targets for the devil? The internet can be a beautiful library, or it can be a cesspool of pornography. There's philosophies on there. Hey, look, we've got a thousand different directions coming to our young people today. Not necessarily new weapons, but they've got a new look. TV shows teach your kids how to be smart mouth to their parents. I tell you, I don't watch much modern TV. I don't know what all's on there, but what little I've seen nothing good. The dad of the home in these sitcoms, the dad is always made out to be a stumbling, bumbling buffoon that the wife puts in his place regularly, and even the children speak down to him. The government education system, news media, social media, all propagandize your children. Do you realize that the vast majority of news sources today is nothing more than stinking propaganda? They're pushing an agenda, and they report stories that support their agenda and ignore stories that might go against their narrative. And adults are falling victim to it. How much more do children? Children are trusting, and they tend to believe those who are older than they. And that's why they're in such a vulnerable spot when it comes to a teacher who wants to give them a worldview that's exactly opposite of what they're being taught at church. At home, you've got them for a few hours during the week. At church, maybe an hour or two at best. You think we can overcome 30 and 40 hours a week of propagandizing from all those other directions? Social media, TikTok, ought to be stuffed back in the horse that it was poured out of. You say, well, everything on TikTok is not bad. A lot of what I've seen is little teenage girls trying to show off their bodies and doing dance moves to try to seduce people. You can't convince me that that's healthy for your children. The devil uses new weapons. Same old tricks, new weapons. And then we see another lesson from this old soldier. A little bit more wisdom here. We need the help of others in battle. Look at verse number 15 again. It says, and David, the last part, was faint. And verse 16, and Ishbi-Nob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels, brass in weight, and he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, I like that. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. It means he came to his support. He came to his aid. Come to David's aid. And smote the Philistine and killed him. David was about to be killed. But Abishai showed up. He saw the need. And we need each other's help. That's why we ought to love our church family the way we should. Because we need each other's help. We can't fight the battle alone. There's a story in Reader's Digest about a strong man who, pretty strong, he was applying for a job, and there were several of the applicants in the room. And one by one, the job interviewer would have each of those men. There was a heavy object in the room, and the interviewer would say, move that heavy object to the other side of the room. And one by one, the men that was applying for the job would pick it up and strain their backs trying to get to the other side of the room. And finally, the strong man, it was his turn, and the interviewer said, move that heavy object to the other side of the room. I want to see how you can do it. The man said, no way. I can't move that by myself without an injury. get me some help. And he got the job. Because he knew he couldn't do it alone. You and I can't do it alone. We need help. Everybody in the body of Christ is important. Everybody who is a member of this church is important. Every one of us can lend support to the other. Every one of us can watch when somebody's discouraged and see if we can encourage them. Every one of us can see when somebody might be straying off into sin, and we can help and pray and go after them and try to draw them back. Every one of us needs each other. In Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says two are better than one. Isn't that true? Hey, if you ever load anything heavy, you know that two loading something is a lot better than one. Well, it's the same way in the Lord's work. David didn't fight alone. Paul didn't fight alone. Paul always had people with him, and neither should you. We need help with each other. Let me give you this last one, and we'll be done. We should develop the power of a godly influence. Develop the power of a godly influence. In this passage, we see three servants of David, in addition to Abishai that we read about, named as giant killers. And we live in a time when giants, spiritual attackers, are gigantic, pushing against us. And when we see somebody else get a victory, their testimony influences us to fight on. An old evangelist, I used to hear him preach every once in a while. Anybody know Ron Garris? He used to be president of Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. When I was in Denver, he preached a couple of revivals for us there. And I ran onto him at Bible conferences at different places. And my wife and I fed him at our house once. Every time I saw him after that, he'd always talk about Karen's gravy and biscuits. And he passed away. And boy, how I missed the gravy and biscuits. I wish he was back to help me get more gravy and biscuits. Amen. He was a good, good man. He was the kind of guy, he was just of a sweet nature when you're just visiting with him. He was just a humble man. But when he got in the pulpit, he turned into a tiger. And man, he would preach. He'd look down through the crowd and preaching to 1,000 or 2,000 people. He'd say, "Lift up your head, Jack. It's not time to pray. I'm speaking to you." And he was rough as an old cob, but he was a good guy. He had this one sermon that he preached a number of times. It's called "Head Busting Runs in My Family," and he was that kind of a guy. Well, these guys helped David out. They slew the giants and giants' family. These giants, these Philistines, thought they could take over David and his nation. But boy, were they wrong. David stood up for his men. When he was too old to be out there fighting, he was out there on the battlefield anyway. He wasn't about to give up, and he became the guiding light for all of Israel. And they said, "David, you're too valuable for us to lose. We can't allow you to fight anymore. We want you to be our light of our nation." We ought to be each other's lights in the service of God. We ought to respect those who have wisdom to give as they grow older, and protect them and honor them and lift them up. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, help us to enjoy one another's company, and those in their youth, help them to enjoy their youth. But Lord, let us never lose the admiration and respect and awe that we have for those old warriors that have been fighting the battle so long. I pray that you'd bless us and strengthen us, Lord. We know we've got a lot of battle. As long as we're on this earth, there'll be a battle. The devil hasn't given up yet, and neither should we. I pray that you'd bless our church. Lord, we seem to be having a little bit of a growth spurt and a good spirit. Things are going good. But it's kind of scary in a way, Lord, because we know the devil doesn't like that. And I pray that you'd help us to be aware of the fact that we need to be on guard and need to fight against the devil and not be on the defensive. Help us to defend one another. Our heads are bowed and eyes